You know, I taught you to say, what does a cow say? But as my mom would have said, what does a coo say? You can, but Kate the cow says moo, obviously. It's the same in Doric. But I would have been saying, what does a cow say? And it was a deliberate, I suppose, a hang up to that. I didn't want you being the one at nursery going, coo, say coo. You know, it is a cow, and that's what we should all call it. Mm-hmm. I was conscious about it at the time, feeling a little bit kind of guilty. But yeah, I think when I come here, so that's interesting. You can Don side and D side. D side is epitomized by the royal, you know, royal D side. And I went to a Boyne Academy, part of royal D side. And so the catchment area covered, obviously, a Boyne, Ballater, Braemar, not quite as far as Bankery, but Torfens, Fingen, all that kind of stuff. Now, the people that bide in Fingen now would be a lot different to the people that bade in Fingen. My mum and dad bade there. My dad was a little loo. And the same with a Boyne or some, you know, places like a Boyne and Ballater, the Victorians built their big houses there from the royal family when Victoria and Albert bought Balmoral. And there were all bide in there, you know, summer houses and stuff. So those big houses, that's where the Isle folk bought. And so a Boyne Academy was full of English folk, posh folk. When you come over to Donside, when we moved over here to Sachen, Donside doesn't have the same catchment, I guess. And, well, we came here 17 years ago, and I was surprised. I guess I was surprised to find we Anne-Marie. And I thought, oh, I'm going to start speaking Doric again, you can. And it was her, really, that I guess I'd been doing it. I suppose I'd been doing it to some degree. But it was really her that started me off again. And it felt comfortable and right. It felt really comfortable. Because I suppose I've gone through my whole life wondering how to speak, wondering what language to speak, to use. Can it work at school? It's all English folk I was in among. And it was only really my mum and dad, family, that I would be speaking Doric to. But I went into a shop and it was a Doric speaking wifey. Yeah, you slip in the odd word, but you always start off in English until you hear them. But I think, yeah, it's funny.
Assess me all your muses, your downcast spirits raise. Join me in full chorus, they sing brave Huntley's praise. For the girl I left behind me, whose charms were all my pride. As a bit farewell tay, Huntley doon I and the bonny bogie sigh. And it is doon the road tay, Huntley lads, wee pleasant steps I rode. Almost confirmed in rapture, for the sweet girl that I love. But charms were sweet and bonny, and on an eventide we laid us down to rest a while upon sweet bogey's side. Farewell, ye lads, a hunt platoon and I bid yes all adieu. The Polish are so uneven so walk, I'll share nae mair with you. The sky was clear and bonny, but not an even tide. I'll let me doon tae rest a while upon sweet. And may the powers above protect that girl, say young and fair and kind. Keep her from all dangers that has this heart of mine, until my heart forgets to beat, and death will be my guide. Then I'll return to Huntly Toon, I am to bonny Bogie's side.
My granny was a knitter, or as we'd say in Inverarchy, she was a weaver. She didn't teach me to knit. My mom never taught me to knit. It hasn't been handed down any crafty stuff at all for my family. And it was actually when I was at Tate, I probably was sparked with the idea of doing fibery things. So it's never been, and I suppose like my mom knits new because I started up like a fiber group and she's kind of picking it up again. But the fibery part of for ID has probably been quite independent, I suppose. But the Doric thing has just been constant. I text in Doric. Even I started a new job this week and I was typing in the like Microsoft Teams in Doric. And then I was like, oh, Guida, no, you can't do that. So it's just like, I didn't think about it. I bide with my sister and she speaks Doric. My boyfriend's an American, he lives in LA, and I speak so much Doric, he'll respond in Doric now. He texts like, oh, you can, what I mean, you can fit. Like, it's weird. But I've just never changed it because in my head, I'm speaking normal, I suppose.
Bide a wee minty. Lug into my reveries, weesht this city. A breeze flichters roon all Aberdeen's cobbled streets, pink petal rain. Summer is here wi a white sheet o' har to blanket us. Call wave o' water, the bus weeks on past us drookit rats. Rieshel o' leaves in the golden garden, the scurries skite. Folk squint their een on the cal winter street, low yalla sun. Thann water thaw, in Johnston Gardens we cross the brig the gither. The carouse o' dews echo through the tunnel, nae alone new. You rush past a fast and pecking hard, nae seeing this too shall pass. Mica will glister in the darkest o' granite, if you just let it.
See, he's nae native, or was not native from here. He's by the west coast. He's by Neudart. So, when he was he living in Mungari?
No, he was at Blair's College.
Okay, so somebody was asking him for a match, basically, to light something, but they asked him for a spunk.
And he'd had a box of matches in his hand, so he just apologised that he hadn't got it. And the man said, that's a spunk that you have in your hand. And he said he never forgot it.
Sometimes you've to watch your mouth. The language of Scots is na cut and dry. There's wee variations, as I found out in Dundee. Nearly got a hiding for can a bloke, a gadgie. Turns out, there's 70 mile a difference between a manny and a mink. But it is one thing. Surely, Abdi kens the meaning o', used countrywide. Some might consider swearing a united, expressive, Scottish word. Humans of the world, I gie ye pish. Ye can be pished as a fart, and speaking pish whilst you're out on the pish. If I's getting pished tonight, disna mean fit ye'd think. Pish can be literal, and ah, fin you're bursting for a pish. But how div ye ken fitting's fit, fin a lanky streak of pish means thin, and if you're gone for a pish, you're a wa for a single fish. As you can see, pish is a versatile word. It can mean many things, depending on the context. A prime example being as poems fucking pish.
Fa would be a fisherman's wife to work wi' a tub and a scrubber and a knife. And he did fire in a ravel bed and a wat the mussels in the morning. Here a week comes scooting in, three reefs to the foresailing. There's nae dry stitch to put on your back, but still we're a hearty toddlers. Noel Falky's a hunter and a ripper lead to try for a coddy in the bay of Peterhead. There may be at the lummies or the clock in Sotty's Head from Morgan to the lines in the morning. Here a week comes scooting in, three reefs to the foresailing. There's nae a dry stitch to put on your back, but still we're a hearty toddlers. Side is doing a gate o' braes in the middle o' the night. We are now set up 10 and a canoe for a lift. Together up the pullers, every een of them in six, so we'll get a liney baited in the morning. Here a week comes scooring in, three reefs to the foresailing. There's nae a dry stitch to put on your back, but still we're a hearty toddlers.
My mum and our pal went to New York for their 50th. And they'd bathe only bidden in. Our pal was fain Veralchi and bidden in Veralchi. My mum was bidden in Fraserburgh at the time, so like 20 minutes apart. And they went to New York together. And when they were asking for directions and stuff, my mum would talk. Like, do you know how to get to? They'd be like, pardon, what are you saying? And our pal, Lisbeth, would go, food if we get to forever we're gone. And the word cane that she was saying, my mum was like, it was bizarre. She didn't change how she spoke once. And folk just seemed to respond better. It was maybe the tone of her voice or the facial expressions, whereas my mum would have been trying so hard to fit in. They're just like, what are you saying? Foreign wifey. I love that. Food if you get to.
When we were kids, we used to poo neeps, as we speak about, and grandfather and father would poo the neeps into drills, into lines, and careful nae to, like, the neeps were getting stored in the shed, so you couldn't spike them because they would rot. So they had to be cut and then thrown into a trailer behind. And we were told to make sure you threw them in over the by hand. Didn't be using a grape ring, but remember, hand. And grandfather and father was at the other side of the cap, and I was at this side, and I was getting a bit of lazy, booing, doing all the time, so I would just spike it with a grate and throw them in over it, just throw them up and in, thinking they wouldn't see me, and I'm going on. But did I not miss an heap and put the grit to the ground? And then I had to tell, well, I must have let out a row, I pulled the grate out, and then, of course, father must have heard something, thought, what's going on around there? So he came round, what are you up to? And I says, nine, I'm all right, I'm fine, but I couldn't hardly walk. And he says, what have you been doing? You've been spiking up neeps? And I says, no. And then, of course, he discovered that it happened, welly off, bleed all that, and got a right swearing for the hurting my foot. So that was one of the things I did when I was about 12-year-old. Another time, we was at silage, very archaic way of doing it, and Tom and Towler, you would pull the trailer up the road and drop the trailer in the field and pick up the forage harvester, put the trailer on, and I would go along to help my dad. I might have been 13-year-old. I would go along and put in all the pins and put pipes on, and was going up the road with the trailer. And we, for some reason, the tractor was, I don't know, was there something wrong with the tractor, but the trailer would tip up and the road up. And I thought, this is dad being capering. And the trailer was going up and up and up and up and up. And I thought, Jesus Christ, I'm going to fall out here. So I shot after the, I started sliding down the back of the trailer. But of course, the back doors are automatic. And I thought, as soon as I got the back door, I put my feet against it and that would stop me. But no, just as I got to the back door of the trailer, the door opened. And I shot onto the main road. I rumbled up the road and then I cut on my elbows and cut my side of my head. And there was a motorbike behind me. I had to take evasive action to miss me. And then father, when he got to the field, well, when he slowed down the tractor, the trailer started coming down again, swung into the field. And he was sitting waiting for me to jump out, and I never came out. Didn't know yet. Well, he knew after a while where I was, but I wasn't where he thought I was.
But what I find interesting, I think Jenny and I had this conversation when you were embarking on this. We can flit between the two without thinking about it. Because, well, I have to, because I'm working with children, and majority of them have got, like, English parents. But if you go further north, if you go sort of Banff and Buchan up to Peterhead, Fraserburgh, that area,
the Fishers,
they speak Doric in the school. And that's all they speak. They just speak Doric. They didn't compromise. You can. So if you're like an incomer to that neck of the woods, it must be really hard for you to understand what folk are saying.
Slavering, slubbering, gibbering, jabbering, roon we a wallop, a sclighter, a sweel. Yonder's the burn, and it's bairnhood, it's blabbering, hechlop and puddick with varin his heel. Bellied and dachlin, it's tashed and it's trachlin, beached in a bog like a biblical whale. Hashin and dashin, it's up and it's clashin, scalpit and skitin like chaff by the flail. Come the fae necht when the gloamin' is glistery, lang as a note on a tenuous string, black as a swan o' immaculate mystery, doon rouse the burn on a song and a wing, dulcet as Chopin, Menuhin, Beethoven, Jinky Stravinsky as Brange and as Bach, sign with a baby it, thurled and tighted, drink o' its music, a strang will he wacht.
Thank you. The Kelpie at Kinker is a guy special kind of Kelpie. Because as you all can, Kelpies can be tricksome little devils. And you never want to come and fight in with a Kelpie because they might look, very handsome. Very handsome on land. And you might be tempted to climb onto the back of this handsome stranger who's offered to tuck you across the burren or the water. But as soon as you get on his back and he strides out into that water, as you know, he will turn into the water kelpie and tuck you deep, deep down to your depth, to your end. So the kelpie is a tricksome creature, but the kelpie at Kinker is a wee bit different. And it all happened a stormy night. Now, the boatman down there at Kincardine and Eel, he thought, I like the look of that storm. That sky is gay dark, gay cloudy. I am going to tie up a boat for the night. That's the end of my boat trips. I'm not taking anybody else across the water. And he was just tying up his boat, when along come this stranger. And the stranger says, but I'm off a needing across the water. And the boatman says, I'm not really keen to ging. There's a storm coming. You can see, look, the wind's starting to rise. And I'm just not liking the look of that water of all. But the stranger says, I really need across the water. Go on, take my cross. And somehow the boatman was persuaded. Well, they hadn't got far across the water, I was a right uncanny feeling get right up the back of the boatman. And it wasn't just a storm either. There was something uncanny about this passenger. And he looked over his shoulder at the man sitting at the back of the boat and he thought, I don't think this man is natural. And he started to suspect that it was indeed a kelpie. Well, what could he do? By this time, he was halfway across the Dee and a storm was getting real bad. The wind was howling, the rain was coming down, and the water was rising. In fact, there was waves like he was out at sea, and he thought, this is a kelpie, the devil's going to drown me. Oh, mighty fit, why did I agree to take him across? Well, for goody dee, but row and row and row, and he rowed as fast as he could. He was rowing for his very life. And somehow, he got to the other side. To this day, the boatman doesn't ken how he managed it. And the kelpie, for as nae doot it was a kelpie, he leaped out of the boat and he started a wa' along the banks of the Dee. And as he could do in the corner, he cried back. He said, the Dee will be quiet and merciful ever while you or your sons hae a boat on the river. So he actually blessed the boatman. So the folk at Kinker dinna hae sic an ill will at kelpies as some other folk do.
When I was growing up, when I was at the school, at academy, and of course we all spoke English in class, and I mind one of the teachers saying to me, where are you from? Because I must have, nae sounded very broad. And I think now I sound really broad and local. But I must have spoken English in a way that he thought I was for the same place as the other people there. But I was kind of pleased about that, at the time, because I didn't want to sound embarrassing. And, a lot of my friends at the time were incomers. They weren't the locals. And so you had to kind of turn on the English. I didn't talk like that. I didn't turn on the English accent. But I think my pronunciation of English, I didn't have that Doric drawl behind it, And but now it's kind of fun for me to speak Doric with my friends and my family and all. And it's generally because the words are funny. I find a lot of humour in the words like sklapet and dichted and bladed. And so I like using it day to day. And I also like teaching it. I work with Slovakian, Russian, Polish people, and they teach me words, usually rude words in their language. And I can tell them things like, I can explain and tell them how to pronounce gaip or bahid, you know, things like that. So it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. And I hope, can they'll mind that? Like I will mind the Polish very rude word that they've taught me. I hope that they'll mind things. And one of my colleagues does repeat things back to me, and it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
It's recht fine to ging awa, but there's nothing like coming back. We answer the call of the land whispering, you've been awa too long. Mon heim quain, come awa maloon, the northeast is far you are. And we are hame. Tied together from mountain to sea, we are the colour of autumn leaves and a thing in atween. We are rich in beauty. We're the mouth of the dawn, the length of the dee, swans nesting in the reeds. We are pink-footed geese, getting fat on spilt grain. We're the first spit to rain, the salt tang of the air. We are the cry of the cormorant on our shallow coasts, the sand in our dunes. Our lungs hud the roar of the waves, and we are winter's breath, the clang of industry and energy, engines of ships coming in, we are good hull to sell. We are the call of the fish house and the shelter o' the harbour in a storm. We are dreich days in the kiss of summer. We are shafts of sunlight breaking through the clouds. We're spring buds rising up, willing to grow, soft as petals and tough as granite. We are chuchters and tunesers, farmers and fishers, bobbies and roughy-toughy North Sea tigers. We're poets, dancers, filmmakers, musicians, teachers and a' manner of things. But we are mair than fit would ee. We are our feathers and mithers and family and friends. We are the city and shire and things we admire in others. We're assets and defects, doing our best. We're a' just trying to scrape by to suss out our place. We are a melting pot of folk fae awai, but our erchies burns. So welcome, mon in. Find yourself a shell that fits and mak it your ain. We are the northeast, and this is our hame, your hame. We are hame.